I'd like to call this meeting of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee to order. I want to thank those people that are here this afternoon and those that are online for the two bills that we are going to be hearing. First of all, I want to make sure that everybody turns their cell phones off so we don't get the distraction or the feedback from those people that are on teleconferences to, with that kind of interference. The other thing I want to do is go ahead and let you know that when you come up to testify, especially for those people that are on teleconference, to make sure that you state your name and who you're affiliated with before you give your testimony. And if you are asked questions, I'd like to go, or you ask questions, especially on teleconference, so we get your name so that we know who's speaking. We're going to have a fair amount of testimony this afternoon, so I'd like to go ahead and make sure everybody is got a five-minute limit before we've got to go ahead and take some type of volume action. Our agenda this afternoon is to hear the two municipal revenue sharing bills, Senate Bill 72 and Senate Bill 3, in that order. And so with that, we'll go ahead and have Ms. Osterman go ahead and present Senate Bill 72, which is the committee's community revenue sharing bill. If you would, Ms. Osterman.
Hello, my name is Jenny Osterman. I'm staff to Senator Don Olson. SB 72 establishes a sustainable revenue sharing program based on the owner-state concept. The resources of the state belong to all Alaskans. Cities and boroughs were formed by the state as political subdivisions to provide services to the people. Without revenue sharing, the entire cost of basic services is borne by local taxpayers. Skyrocketing fuel and retirement system costs and inflation, in conjunction with severe cuts in revenue sharing over the past several years, have local governments scrambling to continue providing even basic services such as snow removal and road maintenance, public safety, and education of our children. SB 72 provides a means of sustainable revenue sharing in order to allow communities to continue providing basic services. SB 72 would allow the legislature to allocate 6% of certain natural resource revenues to revenue sharing every year. Basing revenue sharing on the state's annual income allows for the flexibility needed to continue the program during lean years when state revenue is down. Without consistent, dependable revenue sharing, provision of basic services will continue to decline. Some small communities have already closed their doors. SB 72 provides the tool to solve the problem of helping local governments fund basic services. Senator Olson, I'd like to go ahead and turn the microphone over to Kathy Wasserman and Tim Borsey from Alaska Municipal League.
If you would, please. Ms. Wasserman and Mr. Borsey. Go ahead, if you would, please.
Thank you, Chairman Olson, members of the committee. On behalf of Alaska Municipal League, my name is Tim Borsey. I am the president of Alaska Municipal League. I am also the mayor of the city of Skagway. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to hear Senate Bill number 72. This is the Community Revenue Sharing Bill. It is a program that has been born out of years of work through Alaska Municipal League. We have, for many years, been struggling with declining revenue sharing that has happened. Well, started in 85, and it's been steadily declining ever since. It's something that is near and dear to our heart. We believe that revenue sharing is part of a basic foundation under which we build this great state. Without stable communities, the business opportunities and the opportunities for our children just aren't there because we aren't providing the basic services that they need. This bill basically would set aside 6% of revenues that are created through natural resource sales and put it into a sub-account in the general fund. That money could then be allocated by the legislature to the communities. The way the allocation would work, there would be a base allocation of $25,000 to unorganized communities, $75,000 to organized municipalities, and $250,000 two boroughs. On top of that, that would be the base allocation. There would be a per capita distribution of the remaining funds, if there were any. One of the things that over the years we've been working on, and number one, and we've heard from the legislature, is a sustainable program. And we believe that this is a sustainable program. And we also think that it's appropriate because we share in the wealth and we share in the cost with this program. So when the state is benefiting from high oil and gas prices, the local communities would benefit as well. When we are going through hard times, we too also would share in the cost of that and having to tighten our belt. So we certainly think it's an appropriate method to move forward. I know that over the past few years, at the local level, people in communities have become increasingly frustrated because of increases in taxes at the local level. I think the Fairbanks vote, you know, this fall is a prime indicator of the backlash of what, you know, we are facing at the local level. And and you know, the revenue sharing money, as that has declined, has had a direct influence on property taxes increasing at the local level. And I think that that is certainly an indicator. We think that if you look at what this would mean for this next fiscal year, it would be $144 million, and would be the allocation. It would be the previous revenue from the previous year, and that would be distributed throughout the state. With that, I would entertain any questions. Kathy, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
No, I'm just here for questions. We have Bill Rolfson from DCCED, who also might be able to shed some light if you have any questions on the financial end, and also Department of Revenue is here as well, who kindly helped us with a lot of the financial aspects of this.
Okay. Well, thank you for your information. I want the record to reflect that Senator Wagner has joined us. With that, as we look at this bill that's here, why there seems to be some disparity between the organized and the unorganized communities, to the tune that the unorganized communities are getting a third of what the organized ones are, yet we're dealing with residents that need the same services. Why is there such a difference between the two?
I think
and the base allocation is what I'm talking about.
Yes, I understand that. And I think that in the discussions that we had in our legislative meetings this summer, we at AML feel that, you know, the ultimate goal in this state is to organize. And having the incentives to organize, I think, are important to the future stability and growth in this state. So the areas that are unorganized, you know, we realize that they are providing services, and we want to make sure that they too have the ability to get some money to distribute and provide services. The areas that are organized are already providing a lot of those services, and so it's kind of tiered towards heading towards organization. But you know, we aren't trying to leave someone out in the cold. We're trying to invite someone into the warm, so to speak.
Well, I guess that's the basis of my question, Mr. Borsi, is that if you have a community that's trying to organize, it's going to cost some money to get organized, and if they're trying to get to a borough, it's true that they will get money after they become a borough, but in order to get to there, you're going to have to spend a fair amount of money just to become an organized borough. And right now, some of these communities that are don't have maybe the resources that they can look at. It's a pretty difficult, pretty steep road to climb uphill.
I certainly agree with you. I think that is something that we've been wrestling with in the state for a long time, and I think it's reasonable to assume that there's certain areas in the state that won't ever have the tax base to really truly be organized in the sense of a normal municipality. And certainly it's, you know, the will of the legislature to, you know, take a look at that and see what is the best way to address that issue. You know, we certainly, you know, want unorganized and organized areas alike to benefit equally, but we do understand that providing education and providing services, you know, from organized areas is where the state wants to be.
For sure. Any questions from the committee? Senator Stevens.
Just that I don't see it in here. A brief history of revenue sharing would be nice to have. A simple, you know, and somebody must be able to make that available to us. What has revenue sharing been in the past? I have a pretty good idea, but it's not definite unless you have something there that I haven't seen.
We do have a little chart. I don't know. Did you guys get that in your packet? And it basically has the annual appropriations from 1985 when revenue sharing was instituted, and the change in those allocations over time, and that is the red declining line that goes.
Could you explain that to us again, then?
Pardon me.
Could you explain that what that says?
Yeah, basically in 1985, and you'd be looking at the red line. Revenue sharing would be that declining line. So it started out at $141 million in 1985,
right.
And declined in 2005. It was zero. Last year, I believe we had $66 million or something.
Included PERS.
Which included PERS. So that would be the red line. There's an orange line there that would be the revenue sharing package from 1985 on, if you actually inflation-proofed it over time. And the yellow line, or the dashed line, if you have the black and white copy, would be what the natural resource figures would be over time. So you can see as the resources go up, the money would go up, and as the resource revenues go down, the money would go down. So we share in the benefit, and we share in the cost.
Thank you.
Senator Thomas.
Senator Olson, thank you. Welcome. This handout has the excluded.
Yes.
And you excluded oil and gas production and property tax. Is that because you guys couldn't figure that out either, or what?
No. The way the bill is written, it has some additional things in it that would be the oil and gas production property taxes and other mineral taxation items. We were looking at it from the base allocation, which is the stuff up above, which comes from the definition through the permanent fund, which is mineral lease rentals, royalty sale proceeds, federal mineral revenue sharing payments, and bonuses. So that is where Alaska Municipal League believes, you know, that figure would be an appropriate figure, and not to lump these other taxes into this program. So that's kind of what we're looking for.
Okay.
To see.
And along the lines of Senator Olson's question, who I haven't found anybody that takes responsibility for helping set up those boroughs directly. I don't know that there's money available within the Department of Commerce or an agency within to actually accomplish that. Talked to some people, and they said, well, some of those that have set up boroughs are seeking, some are seeking information from them, trying to at least coordinate, find out how it would impact them, what they can expect, what benefits are available in doing that. Is there something that you have?
As far as informing boroughs, or?
Yeah, informing them, helping them set it up, tell them, we're dealing in some very rural areas where, you know,
right,
a lot of distance not only separates some of the communities that would be within the potential borough, and maybe I'm mistaken, but I couldn't find anybody to say, yeah, we do this in the Department of Commerce, and we have an agency set up to accomplish that.
Through the chair, I certainly have a tremendous amount of personal experience with borough formation in the fact that the city of Skagway just recently went through a seven-year borough process. I think that the legislature itself, even last year when we were talking about the admin borough, and there's been talk over the years about lack of incentives, and And I think it is difficult to get from point A to point B. It can sometimes be a very painful and arduous process. I think that DCED, it should be an advocate and should be assisting these people of getting from, point A to point B. And I know that, there's a lot of regulations and a lot of statutes that have to be addressed when you're trying to form these areas. I think sometimes they're a little rigid and not as flexible as they could be. But I would agree, I don't think the money's there to really provide the incentives to help these areas form. I know incentive packages have been kicked around. I will say that there are a number of areas in the state that most certainly would form boroughs if the process was a little more flexible. How it fits into this package, I'm not sure. It would be, the incentive would be, you get an additional base allocation, if you're a municipality, or an additional if you're a borough. But those come with additional costs as well. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Ms. Wasserman.
Senator Thomas, if I may, through the chair, also if those communities call DCCED and talk to the people in the local boundary staff, they can certainly help them walk through those areas and give them guidance as to what they do and when they do it and how it's done.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? Okay, online we have a number of people, so we'll try to get to those people first. First of all, we've got the mayor of Anchorage online, Mayor Mark Begich. Mr. Mayor Begich, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to say a few comments, if I could.
Go ahead.
I appreciate the league and their work on this, and we are obviously supportive of this bill for a variety of reasons. One, it does have sustainability, meaning that it has an allocated source or a source of revenue, which we think is pretty important. Instead of just hoping every year a source appears, this actually identifies natural resource revenues of 6% of its revenue stream, which again creates a sustainable program. From Anchorage's standpoint, how we use revenue sharing programs of this nature, like last year, we put it directly to property tax relief. In the urban area of Anchorage, that's the highest demand right now. I know in smaller communities, it's for core services, water, sewer, basic government services, and we do support that effort and how they use that money for that purpose. But in Anchorage, I just really wanted to make the point that revenue sharing to us is a direct property tax relief program that we like to put it to. I describe it to the citizens here that that money, which comes from natural resources, which are owned by all of us in the state, go back to the residents of our community and in the form of property tax relief. So I wanted to call in and voice my support for this legislation. I know there's some probably tweaking of it as it goes through the process, but we are supportive of this. We think it's a great step in moving to a sustainable program that benefits all communities of all size throughout the state of Alaska. And I'd be happy to answer any questions of how we would utilize this or how we do our program here compared with last year's money. And again, hopefully, if this comes into play, what we would do in the future.
Any questions of Mayor Begich? I have a question. What are your thoughts on the base allocation there for the unorganized versus the organized, as well as the borough? Is that going to be enough to make a significant dent into some of the issues that we've been dealing with property taxes? I guess the best example was brought up by Mr. Borsi, where he was talking about the vote that was taken in Fairbanks.
Right. I think for the urban areas, especially Anchorage, Fairbanks, those areas, there is a lot of pressure, and we've been feeling it for years, especially during my time as mayor. Property taxpayers are feeling a pretty big pinch, and Fairbanks was a great example of where they just had enough. And I think in the case of relief of any kind is going to make a huge dent in the public's kind of view of their tax bill. But if it's only going one direction up, like Fairbanks, they will have a negative reaction and really damage the city. And I think that's what's happened in Fairbanks. So I think this kind of program, depending on the final allocation, will have a good impact for us here. It may have an impact of between 1, 2, and maybe as much as 3 mill levy drop. So that's significant. And in small communities, you know, the minimums, I think, are good minimums. I know some will have some discussion on that. And your point on making sure that if you have unorganized communities that want to be organized, that there be some ability, maybe even in that first year, to give them a little bonus because they've organized, that they get a little bonus push, because I think that is one of the pushes we have as a municipal league, but also as mayors.
Any other questions for the Mr. Mayor? I'm sorry. Senator Wagner.
Did I lose you?
Hi, Mr. Mayor. If you put all of this money that you receive in revenue sharing, or this, I shouldn't say that because I'm committing myself, and I'm not sure I'm in favor of this total package, but if you relieve the property owner in the amount of 2 to 3 mills, and if oil goes to $15 a barrel, how hard is it going to be for you to increase the mill rate back up to make the difference that you lose?
I think especially the way we now send out our assessment cards, we make it very clear to the voter and the property taxpayer with property tax relief what it would be without. You know, like last year we received about $22 million, so we made it very clear to them what the amount would be with and without. Part of that's our education of our community here. If you drop it 2 mills, you know, going the other way back up, you know, it's always, you know, it's no easy task ever to raise taxes, but I think we have had to do it here. The community has accepted it in a lot of ways because we've explained it to them as we have to deal with the issues. So, you know, I don't want to have that as a fear, but I would also say, as you know, and why this bill, I like the way it is, you know, when times are good, we go up. When times are bad, we go down. And I think that's a fair way to deal with revenues that might come from the state to a community. But, you know, that's anytime you have to raise one dime more than the year before, it's no fun. But mayors do it every day. We have to. And as long as we communicate with our citizens, I think we're okay in that arena. I mean, it's tough, but we do it.
Senator
Wagner, go ahead.
When you send your bill out, do you show a line item that there's that much reduction due to so much revenue sharing?
Yes, we do. We do it in two forms. One, the bill shows it, and that is actually required under state law, and then we actually highlight it. The second thing we do is when you get your assessment card, the green card, as we call it here, you now see, starting this year, you'll see what you paid last year in taxes, what you will pay this year in taxes, and because we had $22 million last year, we showed them with that reduction, the complements of the legislature and the state, what that number would be. And we show that because we want to be in full disclosure to the voter and the property taxpayer that if, you know, they know their range, in essence, of what they will pay in taxes, and I think that's important. The thing we do very clearly, and this is, you know, we think disclosure is important, full and honest disclosure. So both on the bill and the assessment card, assessor card that we send out, we make it very clear that that's a state grant and the legislature, and we, just so you know, we give you guys credit for helping make that happen. But we make it very clear that, you know, it's there and it might not be, but they know what their total bill would be without it. That's very important to us. And we've actually had very good positive comments on that card this year.
Thank you, Senator Wagner. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mayor, I just want to get an idea, get a perspective on the taxation in Anchorage. If I understand the Senate Bill 72, it would have a per capita distribution to Anchorage of between $40 and $45 million. So, what portion of your property tax? How much of a relief would that be? What is your total property tax?
Our total property tax. I'm looking at my chart here, real quick. Give me just 1 second. Our total property tax between the school district and the city is almost $400 million. And so that would give about a 10%, 9.5%, 9% reduction.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the mayor? Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, for your testimony this afternoon. And unless there is someone in the audience that has time constraints, we'll take care of those people that are on the teleconference to go ahead and have their testimony presented. And next one we have is Mayor John Williams from the Kenai Peninsula Borough. Mr. Mayor, go ahead.
Thank you, members of the committee, and thank you, Senator Olson, for chairing this committee today. It's my pleasure to talk to you today briefly about Senate Bill 72, and I'd like to start out by applauding the committee for the sponsorship statement that is put forth at the beginning of the legislation here. I think it takes a lot of vision to look over the horizon and see that you can produce something that actually will benefit all of the communities throughout the state. Now, let me preface my comments by saying that I did meet with the rest of the mayors of the peninsula, the other six mayors, on the 8th of February, and my comments pretty much fall in line with the rest of the mayors here on the peninsula with regards to SB 72. I'd like for just a moment to take a look at history, maybe take a walk down history lane just for a moment. It's interesting to note that in 1985, when the revenue sharing program reached its pinnacle of $141 million, my very good friend Senator Wagner was then the mayor of the city of Kenai. The following year, in 1986, I came in as mayor of the city of Kenai, and the revenue sharing program throughout the state began a precipitous slide, dropping from $141 to $140 million that year. Over the next 18 years, as I served as mayor of the city of Kenai, the revenue sharing program throughout the state dropped from $140 million all the way down to $6,450,000, virtually non-existent. So it just seems as though we almost completely forgot about municipalities and communities sharing in what we call the ownership state. Now, I also draw your attention to the now famous chart that's been around for quite some time that Alaska Municipal League has produced that shows very dramatically that during that same period of time, as the municipal assistance and revenue sharing was dropping, there was an increase in municipal property taxes that just about mirrors the drop in community revenue sharing. And that, of course, was drawn from the pockets of the people of the communities. So the taxes went up almost a mirrored amount. Now, I go back to the sustainability issue. The question of how do we build a community revenue sharing program has been with us for some time, and past governors have said, can you bring us a sustainable revenue program? Can you show us where the revenue to a program of this nature would be sustainable? And I think this act fairly well does that. I do appreciate Mayor Begich's comments, and they reflect my own comments with regards to the fact that when the revenue is up, we share. When the revenue is down, we share. We take our losses with everybody else. And I think that also brings the citizenry to be more aware of what the revenue picture to the state of Alaska is really doing and where our real revenue comes from. If they can see that their taxes are being reflected, the amount that they have to pay is really being reflected in the revenue to the state of Alaska. It's interesting also to talk about the sustainability portion of it, and I kind of jokingly look at this when I see that included in the funding for this would be the disposal of minerals, including sand, gravel, and stone. And I have to kind of laugh a little bit because the state has placed another burden on municipalities most recently when they raised the price of the state's gravel from $1.25 a share to 3.25 a share. So what we see here is, again, a tendency for state issues and actions to cause reactions in municipalities where, again, it costs us money. I think that the whole program is very well thought out as far as Senate Bill 72 is concerned. And again, like most mayors, I look for some type of tax relief for my citizens. As mayor of the Kenai Peninsula Borough, now, of course, I share a greater understanding of taxation because we do, in fact, tax every member of the entire Kenai Peninsula Borough property owners rather than just those within a small sector. So my awareness and my desire to alleviate, if possible, some taxes on the citizens locally by allowing all to share in the wealth of the state of Alaska through the ownership concept is there with me today. So I wish to thank you once again for holding these hearings, and I would gladly answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, for your testimony. And we have a question from Senator Wagner.
Thank you.
John, I guess that shows that I should have never left my job because you didn't do very good after that, huh?
You know, you say that kind of jokingly, but there are times when I thought, I'm just wondering if my singular involvement is causing this precipitous drop for all the municipalities of the state. And I have to think that it did not. I think I was just one of many mayors who watched the slide.
John, I do have a follow-up question that's kind of serious, though.
Go ahead.
What is the Kenai Peninsula Borough's portion this year of the PERS-TERS liability that the governor's put into the operating budget, of that $463 million she's put in there? What would be the borough's and the school district's portion of that? Do you have that?
You know, I could reach for that in some of my papers. It's my understanding that collectively the borough and school district together will amount to about $12 million in PERS. Of that, I'm not sure just exactly how to break it out. I think the governor has suggested $46 million towards some kind of program. That's the revenue program. I think it's in the 70 numbers that she's proposed. But I know our total bill is about $12 million this year.
Good, thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Mayor? If I can just have Leslie Rydell hang on, we'd like to go ahead and have Luke Hopkins come on up because he's under a time constraint, and go ahead and testify on this bill. Mr. Hopkins.
Thank you very much, Senator Olson, and also thanks to members of the Community Regional Affairs Committee. I'm Luke Hopkins, the board member for the Alaska Municipal League from District 7, which includes the Golden Heart of the Interior. I'm also the presiding officer of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly, so representing about 88,000 citizens. As I said, I thank you for this opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 72 today on what I believe is an issue that has impacted most, if not all, of our communities, and will continue to well into the future. As we elected officials all know, revenue sharing funds have been an issue for all of us, even before the program was zeroed out by the previous governor. We even used one-time federal monies back in 2004, pass-through dollars, as I understand it. But the appropriations have been a dwindling revenue stream from the legislative system since 1985. The combined state revenue sharing and municipal assistance safe community program when it had its beginning then in 85, as I understand it. Those effects of less money and the lack of inflation compensation have led many municipalities to rely on property tax revenues more and more. Or the other effect has been to do without those revenues, and that has represented to us at the local level leading to many local governments to be in serious financial conditions or, as you've heard, close shop, shut down the day-to-day operations of some local governments. So you may ask, why a revenue-sharing system that's based on a revenue stream that, one, is not an endowment but is based on general fund dollars, and, two, could sometimes fluctuate radically? Well, our communities are many of the areas where the natural resource extraction or harvesting comes from. And these dollars flow into the state coffers and provide the vast majority of revenue used in our state government. And again, we all recall the Constitution that calls out the sharing of maximum benefits with the citizens. So in the previous two-year legislative session, there was many as 20 different bills as I recall, that dealt with some form of municipal revenue sharing, proposing numerous methods to supply the funding stream. There was little movement on these ideas. AML was even asked by then Governor Murkowski to come up with a proposed method, and he liked using the POMV funding, but his ideas are another story. So we at AML looked at what was a fair basis for the many different local governments to propose to the state for a funding stream. This is not asking for an endowment to be set aside. Endowments are very difficult to create and not always seen as a hands-off amount. Local elected officials dealing with their annual budgets know there are ups and downs every year, adjustments to make, tax caps to deal with, new unfunded programs to cover. We accept these ups and downs as the funding stream that are based on natural resource revenue every year. A 6% figure leaving 94% to be there for state programs and continue to adjust our finances at the local level every year as we do now. In the last two fiscal years, Fairbanks North Star Borough has set aside millions that have been used to pay down the property taxes, lowering the mill rate that citizens in our community pay. This has been in great part due to the municipal assistance that we received from the state, and I thank you for that. Senate Bill 72 sets a minimum floor to allow all our communities to receive funding that can make some real difference at staying open, or as with some of the unincorporated communities, to keep infrastructure functioning. I believe that you have our packet showing the numbers and some of that information. So in closing, I ask on a personal level that I hope we don't spend another 2 years trying to figure out what the system should be. I would ask that you strongly consider moving this bill with a due pass and recommend revenue sharing for the full legislature to consider. And remember, all these past revenue sharing packages have relied on general fund dollars. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hopkins, for your testimony this afternoon. Do we have any questions for Luke Hopkins? Okay, we'd like to go ahead and try Leslie Rydell from Anchorage, who's one of our off-net sites. And if she's on, we'd like to go ahead and take her next. Are you on, Leslie? Okay. We'll take Senator Thomas.
I just had one question. I have two spreadsheets before me. Are we looking at spreadsheet two or spreadsheet one in the municipal league's opinion?
As I understand it, spreadsheet two.
Right.
Two. Okay, now
that's the most recent.
The most recent one that's there is the fiscal note as written.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that. And one other clarification. You said 25,000 is unincorporated.
Yes.
And is there a separate sheet of those entities, or is that to be left to be decided?
There certainly is issues with, you know, what the unincorporated, what, you know, signifies that. I believe as it stands now, it's 25 people, and they have.
Mr. Borsi, if you just identify yourself before.
I'm sorry.
So for those people that are listening off site.
Apologize. Tim Borsi, President, AML. Those aren't identified. The unincorporated totals are on the final page there. It's $1.7 million. But those would be communities of 25 people that provide three services.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Senator Wagner? I mean, Senator Thomas?
No, thanks.
Senator Stevens?
Well, I'm more confused than before. I've got three spreadsheets now, and the latest one shows Anchorage gets $55 million. The other two says 41 and 47. So, but the second spreadsheet says minus incorporated city populations within boroughs.
Yes, if the way it would work is if there is a city such as the city of Fairbanks, the city of Ketchikan within the Ketchikan North Star Borough. The city itself would get their separate allocation outside the allocation of the borough. So the per capita people that actually lived and presided within the city That per capita money would go to the city, and the other money would go to the borough. Does that answer your question?
But the one we should be looking at now is the one, is this the
yes,
one without the AML logo on it?
This is the most recent. And I did have one other comment with regard to the fiscal note, and actually it's more of a question. In the figures as far as the FY 2008, 9, 10, and on, it doesn't show a fluctuation, and I suppose that's a question for DCD.
Do you have anybody from the department here to answer the question? Sally Sadler will please come up.
Sure.
Clear up the question.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Please identify yourself and who you're with, and go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sally Sadler, Legislative Liaison, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. Mr. Borsi is correct. With our fiscal note, what we did is take the assumption if we were using the FY06 minerals revenues, and then we just ran that out, and we should have had a comment in our analysis that we just assumed, despite the fact that there's fluctuation, you know, the predictability of it in those out years is something that's difficult to do. So, yes, it really should, and we can correct that if somebody would like us to do that.
Does that answer your question, Senator Stevens?
Senator Thomas next to me just pointed out something that where are the $25,000 unincorporated communities under this list we're looking at? I don't see them.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure what spreadsheet you have, but in the Excel spreadsheet there are two tabs, one that documents the numbers for the municipalities and one that documents the numbers for the unincorporated communities. And I can give you at the $144,000 level, this is what they have. Okay. You don't have that. There's another two pages here that I'm happy to give you that shows that 1.7 and then identifies the amount at $25,000 per unincorporated community, and it gives that breakout, so it was just not in what you had.
We'll have those copied off and given to the members of the committee, as well as some extra copies for the rest of the people that are in the audience that want to go ahead and see them. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Senator Stevens.
No, thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, I might just mention that we do have Nico Buss with the Department of Natural Resources who have prepared some, you know, his office had prepared some of those numbers, so he may have something that he wants to further clarify with respect to the numbers in the out years.
Mr. Buss, do you have anything else you want to add to the number of spreadsheets that we have in front of us? Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Sadler.
Thank you.
Any other questions that we have on the spreadsheets right now? Senator Thomas.
Just even though we've set aside spreadsheet 1, 2, and now we have another one, which I guess I'll label spreadsheet 3, what was the thinking that caused the changes from spreadsheet 1 to spreadsheet 2 to spreadsheet 3? Was there what adjustments were made within these two to accommodate those numbers or allow those changes? Just not picking on Anchorage, but just as it's sticking out here, fairly dramatic change from spreadsheet 1 to spreadsheet 3. So what would have happened, or what was the thinking, I guess, to have caused that?
Ms. Wasserman, if you please.
Senator Thomas, through the chair, I believe that, and I don't have spreadsheet 1 or 2 with me, but I believe that the reason for the different spreadsheets was we were running numbers based on different scenarios, mm-hmm. as different issues continue to pop up. Just like with any bill, when you start to build the bill, then smaller questions come in from different communities, different people involved that had some information that we thought we might run. And one of the issues was how we dealt with boroughs and communities in the unorganized borough and communities in the organized borough. So we ran different spreadsheets to see how those different figures would come out. So this last spreadsheet is based, this may be trying to simplify it, purely and simply on the bill as it stands now, without trying to go through it and figure out exactly, okay, how would we pay each community?
Thank you.
Senator Thomas, does that answer your question?
It does.
Ms. Osterman, if you'd give us copies up here as well.
Yes. Thank you.
Before we go on to our next person that wants to testify, or any members of the committee wants to go ahead and look at these or have questions on these two additional pages that have been added to the spreadsheet, which include the unincorporated communities, essentially. Senator Thomas.
Thank you. Just one simple one. Do you have a number of entities that this leaves out at this case? With spreadsheet three and the supplement to it, how many communities are there that would receive zero, I guess, in that case? Is there, or is it just we're getting to the point where they're so small that there's a few houses in some particular area? I'm not talking about that, but is there anything that is normally considered or had been considered in the past, I guess, as an entity that was funded at all, that is left off of these calculations now?
Through the chair, that's something that I certainly would pass on to somebody that could speak to that. I certainly cannot. Perhaps Bill.
Bill Rolfson, please come up.
For the record, I'm Bill Rolfson, an employee of the Department of Commerce. When this list is developed, the threshold is 25 residents.
25.
So there would be a few, let's say Rampart is currently just below 25, Evansville. There's a few out there that are just below, I think, Point Baker. What we did in the past, if they were right around the threshold, we'd send them a head count census manual, let them go out and count every resident. And if they could prove they had the 25, they'd be back on the list.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Senator Thomas? Senator Stevens.
Make sure I understand this, Bill. Thank you. An unincorporated community gets its basic $25,000, as the bill states, but they get no credit at all for per capita. Is that, am I understanding that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, that's correct. I guess that's just a policy issue. In the old revenue sharing program, they would just always receive a flat amount, no per capita distribution.
Right, right.
So that's just a carryover of the old way of doing it.
So the other sizes of $250,000 or $75,000, they do receive a per capita. Okay.
And thank I think you. That gets back to the incentive for corporations.
Sure. Thank you.
Senator Wagner.
I guess I'd ask you a question then on the third spreadsheet we got. McCoyuck, is that?
McCoyuck? On Nunavak Island, you're talking about?
Well, I don't know. It's the second one down.
Akiak.
Akiak.
Oh.
Akiak. Okay.
Kodiak Island.
Oh, that's on Kodiak.
Yep.
They got 41 people.
They do.
And they got 75,000 plus their headcount that you were talking about, Senator Stevens.
Right.
For 83,000. And I guess my question is, what type of government structure do they have or do these small communities have that qualify them for the 75 instead of the 25? And also for the per capita per population.
Through the chair, Senator Wagner, they're recognized by the state of Alaska as a political subdivision of the state. They're an incorporated municipality under the laws of Alaska. So that qualifies them for the.
So as all these other communities had to do is do incorporation papers. And then they qualify for the higher amounts and for the per capita.
Through the chair, Senator Wagner, that's correct, but the process from going from unincorporated to incorporation, as was pointed out earlier, is not a simple process. It's an extensive process with many reviews and public hearings, and then ultimately it's a decision by the local boundary commission and then the residents of that community. So it's a several-year process at a minimum, I believe.
And all of these have gone through that process.
That's correct.
Mr. Chairman, just calling because I'm familiar with Akiak. It is an incorporated city. Many of the incorporated cities, I'm not sure about Aukiak exactly, but they do have property tax. They do pay for, some of the services they receive. So they are incorporated cities. In this case, they have 41. They have a city council. They are a legitimate city. We often think of them as villages, but in fact, they are cities.
So they're functioning governments.
Hmm?
They are a functioning government.
Yes, right.
Okay.
A mayor and city. Yeah.
But Aukiak is a second-class city, isn't it, Senator mm-hmm. Stevens?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions, Senator Wagner?
No, that's fine.
Thank you, Mr. Rolfson. If there aren't any other questions, we'll go on to our next person that wants to testify. Up in Fairbanks, we've got Tammy Wilson. Please state your name and who you're with. And go ahead, Ms. Wilson.
Yes, this is Tammy Wilson. I'm just representing as a resident from the North Star Borough. And I just want to thank you for looking at this. I think this is something we really need, especially up here. We've been watching what's been happening with the city of Fairbanks and afraid that the borough might decide to do the same thing without the relief to the property taxes. So I really hope you look at this seriously. We need something to relieve our property taxes. We also got all of our property cards within the last week, seeing the increase of assessments. And I think it worries a lot of people about what's going to be. We know the PERS and TERS is a big issue. We don't know how that's going to be funded. The other thing is we're still looking also at the non-payment of the state for the senior and disabled exemptions. So there's a lot of things that the state could be helping with. And the way I feel right now as just a resident of a middle-class family is that I feel like I'm carrying the burden for a lot of these exemptions that have been done. I didn't cause the PERS and TERS. I think the senior exemption and disabled vets is an awesome thing, but I think the state should be the ones helping foot that bill. Otherwise, it falls on the other sector paying all the extra property taxes, and I really think this is a time that we need to reinstate this, and I thank you for looking at it.
Thank you very much, Ms. Wilson. Any questions? And thank you for your testimony this afternoon. Any questions for Ms. Wilson? Senator Wagner.
Ms. Wilson, do you live in the city of Fairbanks or just in the borough?
I live just in the borough.
Okay. What's your mill rate currently in the borough?
Okay. My current mill rate is right around 12 because we are in a fire district, so we get charged a mill rate for that, but we are not in a road service area, so we don't have that kind of mill rate.
So how much is your fire service?
I think it's just a couple mills.
So you're about a 10 mil?
Yeah, we're really at 12, I've been told, so I'm probably closer to 14. Sorry about that.
Okay.
So 12 would be, because I think we're 6 for the school and around 6 for the borough. For the mills.
Thank you.
If there aren't any other questions, thank you very much for your testimony, Ms. Wilson. We'll go on to the next person from Fairbanks is Tim Beck. Mr. Beck, if you would, please.
Yes, Senator Olson and members of the committee, I thank you for taking the time this afternoon. I just want to speak as a private citizen today, and I think that I speak in favor of this legislation, and I thank you for taking the time to flesh it out and help us move this state forward. So with that, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Beck. Are there any questions from the committee for him? If there aren't, we will go ahead and go up with Jerome Selby from the Kodiak LIO. Mr. Selby, if you would, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Really appreciate you folks looking at this bill. This is something that's desperately needed in the state of Alaska by the municipalities. And basically this last summer when AML met, we tried to go back and kind of start from basics of, the Constitution indicates that the minerals and oil and gas, all the natural resource revenues belong to the people. And so the whole idea was that you take some of the people's money right off the top and send it back to the local level where it really helps them the most by doing a revenue sharing based on 6% of those revenues. And so that's the concept that we're asking you folks to consider. We hope that you'll favorably consider that and send it back, because local government really does a lot of service for the communities. And our thought is that if we get the health communities back to being healthy, because we have a lot of them that are hurting right now, seriously, that's the best way that you folks can save state dollars in the long haul in terms of delivering services. Because if you folks won't have to be sending out DEC people to to provide safe drinking water in communities that have failed. You folks won't have to be picking up more burden in areas that have not been successful because of lack of revenues for all sorts of different services. And really, the state's the one that's going to end up having to pick those up if we continue the direction that we've been going since the early, around 2000, when the revenue sharing monies really shrunk to where they were basically non-existent. In a lot of communities, we have 40-plus that have either gone out of business or are on the verge of going out of business. And we really need this bill. Now, we thoughtfully put through the baseline figures, particularly the $75,000, because we actually sat down with a piece of paper and tried to figure out, okay, if you have keep an office open and you have a clerk there for a minimum of 4 hours a day, which is pretty minimal if you're going to provide any help to your citizens, and you have somebody who takes care of your water and sewer on a part-time basis, and you plow a little snow off the city streets in the middle of the winter, and a few things like that, we ended up with, for most communities, you're going to be in the range of $80,000 to $100,000 a year of cost just to provide those very basic services to your community. And that's why the $75,000 plus a per capita, and if you look on the spreadsheet, it puts most of the communities up close to $100,000, and then as you get bigger, then obviously you go a little bit over $100,000. In terms of the boroughs, we said, okay, now in addition, they pick up the burden of educational responsibilities, and so you've got, and that's why we bumped up the boroughs. We debated the unincorporateds a long time, and, you know, the $25,000 just ended up kind of being a guideline figure because we were trying to be sensitive and work with the legislature here on not making it too healthy to where there's a disincentive to incorporate, because we know the legislature's preference for many, many years has been to encourage incorporation. And normally that's done over through the Boundary Commission, and there's been several different bills looked at that provided grants for folks to work through the incorporation process, and that's really a separate discussion from what is proposed here in terms of what we're shooting for is some operating money to keep communities healthy and operationally providing services to their citizens. And that's really what the revenue sharing bill was about. So just as a little bit of background for you folks to understand the thinking that has gone into the request here, that you folks would provide this kind of a base for the communities in the state. So I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. Selby. And Senator Wagner has a question.
Yeah, hi, Jerome. In what manner would you use the revenue sharing then if this bill were to pass? I heard you talk about providing services. Or would you use it for providing services or like Anchorage did to reduce the mill rate?
Well, what we did last year, Senator Wagner, and through the chair, we did both. We provided a reduction in mill levy, but we also provided an increase for education funding in particular here in the Kodiak Island Borough, and we're able to take care of some other responsibilities as well as the PERS-TERS piece of that whole legislation that you folks put together last year, which, and by the way, that was what you did last year was a huge factor, I think, and for every municipality in the state. Not only with the PERS-TERS assistance, but with the revenue sharing monies itself, I think it made a huge difference. But what we did is we did both. And, you know, in all probability, if you folks pass this bill, I think that we would probably end up doing some of both again. Well, we'd like to provide property tax relief, but we also need some money for some other things, particularly our education, share of education. Because as you folks appropriate more money for education, and that's greatly appreciated and much needed, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying, and cut back on education. We want you to fully fund education, but when you do that, it increases the window, the 4 to 6 meal window that we're expected to contribute as match money goes up. And so it does end up costing us more money when you folks increase funding to education. And that's fine because, quite frankly, our education system needs the help. We've kind of held that back for a number of years. And if you look at teacher salaries and some of the other costs now, we're no longer totally competitive to draw the best teachers that we can get into Alaska out of the universities. And so we need to look at that. That's something that we need to pay attention to. But so we would put some money into education. There's just no question.
Mr. Selby, thank you very much. Any other question for Mr. Selby? I just want to make sure that everybody knows that we've got one more bill to hear. So at 4:45, I'm going to stop testimony on this bill and move on to the other bill that we have on the agenda. Senator Wagner.
Just one quick question, Jerome. What's your mill rate there?
The base borough mill rate is 10.25, and then depending on if you're in the city or in your one of the service districts, inside the city of Kodiak, the mill rate's 12.25. We have a couple of service districts that's, I think, like 13.5 or 13.75.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Selby, for your testimony this afternoon. I'd like to go ahead and go on down to Wrangell. We have the mayor of Wrangell, Valerie McCandless, on. Ms. McCandless, please.
I would like to thank you for the opportunity to testify here, and I'd like to echo Jerome Selby's testimony. There has been very careful consideration given by the Alaska Municipal League, which, as you are aware, represents communities from throughout the state, and they've examined these issues over many years, both at their summer sessions, their November session that takes place after the elections, and then during the time when they come together for their legislative meetings. And this bill is very important for all communities of all sizes. And you've heard much testimony today representing communities, both small and large, and everything in between. And so I think you do have an opportunity here with this particular bill to address issues that have the support throughout the state.
Thank you very much, Mayor McCandless. Any questions for her from the committee? Senator Wagner.
Just the same question. What's your mill rate? You're not talking about service district. Of course, I don't think you have any. You're one incorporated area, right?
We have a mill rate of 12 mills that is likely to go up in our next budgeting, and we also have a 7% sales tax on all of our sales.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McCandless. Now we'll go ahead and turn our attention to people here in the audience. Sally Sadler, do you want to come up and testify again?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sally Sadler, Legislative Liaison, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, and the title's probably longer than my testimony. I just wanted to say on behalf of Commissioner Noddy and the administration, we appreciate you hearing these bills, and it's a very important and much-needed conversation. We have not yet, as an administration, taken a position on any of the revenue-sharing bills that are out there. As you may know, the governor does have $48.1 million in our budget for local government assistance, and we're in the process of working on how to best define and distribute that amount of money. So I just wanted to make sure the committee knew that. And I was going to offer the assistance of Bill Ralston, who runs wonderful scenarios in terms of the allocation and distribution of money for your edification or confusion, whatever the case may be. And finally, Mr. Chairman, I did want to leave with you, Mr. Rolfson, our revenue sharing guru, does have a graph that shows that revenue sharing program first came into existence in 1970, and it goes back, and I will leave this for you to share with your committee members. Thank you very much.
Would you make a copy for all of us? Thank you very much, Ms. Sadler. Are there any questions for her?
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Just are you processing a reduction, a budget reduction, because of the governor's request for $150 million? Is that an issue with in your department?
We have an ongoing budget process that we are going through, and yes, that's part of, you know, reconciling the revenue sharing amount or the local government assistance amount with any contribution we can make toward a reduction in general funds.
And the question had, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, the question
Senator
earlier
Stevens, go ahead.
About encouragement of communities to incorporate. Could you just very simply tell us what is that dollar amount that you can offer to communities if they incorporate?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to have to rely on Bill Rolfson. I know for a borough, it's $300,000 in the first year, $200,000 in the second year, $100,000 in the third year.
Well, let's go any further, because I think Senator Olson wants to conclude this shortly, but I'll follow that up.
We'd be happy to. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other question for Ms. Sadler? Thank you very much for testifying this afternoon. Our next person is Mike Ford. Have him come on up here. Identify yourself, please, for the record, and give us your testimony, if you would, please.
Chairman Olson, thank you for having me today. My name is Mike Ford, and I'm here today on behalf of the Alaska Native Health Board. The Alaska Native Health Board represents over 119,000 residents of the state of Alaska. We provide comprehensive health care services for the rural areas primarily, but also urban areas of Alaska. What I'm here today to tell you is that in order to have a healthy health care system, you also have to have healthy communities. And we see this bill, the bills that you have before you today, as a critical component of the whole matrix of community services. And without those other services, without adequate roads, without public safety, without adequate power supply, you cannot have a healthy healthcare system as well. So I'm here to tell you that the Alaska Native Health Board has identified revenue sharing as a priority for us for this year, and we would like to see something go forward. I'd urge you to give serious consideration to some kind of per capita distribution for unincorporated communities. I think if you look at the numbers you have in terms of population between those communities, there is a great disparity. You have some communities at 25, 26, 27, some communities at 18, 19, 2,000 people. So to provide one set amount for all those communities would seem to be a little bit problematic. But I would urge you to move forward with something, and I thank you for taking this up. We see it as a critical issue for the state of Alaska, and we would like to see something go forward.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. Ford. Senator Wagner, would you?
I just want to make a comment when you talked about some of those communities that are being treated not as quite as adequately as others. I sat through a lot of testimony from some of the people from some of those communities, and that's the way it seems to me in their testimony they want to be treated. Sat through several hours on a bill that Senator Wilkin had 2 years ago, and I was appalled the fact that those people, and I shouldn't say appalled, I was amazed at the attitude, and it was kind of a leave me alone and let me live and just stay away from me. We don't want to provide any money for our schools. We don't want to provide any money for any type of services. Just leave us alone. And those were comments from some of the people from these communities that aren't incorporated and don't care to be incorporated. So I don't know why we should, as a state government, share additional funds with people who don't want to do the same or provide the same level of services that some of the other people in Alaska have. That's a real stretch for me to go there. Just so you know, that's where I'd be coming from on that.
Mr. Ford, please.
Well, Senator, I understand there's a long history of a tension between those communities that are incorporated and those that are not. And it's certainly been clear that the legislature prefers that communities do incorporate, that they do organize, and they do provide support for the services that they want to provide. I understand that. And I don't claim to have the answer to that problem. There are, exactly as you say, there are communities where there is not a strong desire to support the services that are required. But I think that there are plenty of communities where there is a desire. Perhaps for one reason or another, they haven't quite got the mix of support they need to get there. As has been explained today, it's not a simple process. A couple of years, it's complicated, and you have to have the tax base in order to make it pay. And if that doesn't exist, then you probably won't get there. So I don't mean to simply say that this is an easy answer, that we come up with a per capita, that we supply the money without expecting something in return. I understand that issue, but I'd urge the committee to take a close look at that because, again, one set amount for all those communities does seem to leave you with a number of unresolved issues.
Mr. Ford, if I could just ask a question as well. Are you saying that we should be giving the same amount to the unincorporated cities as the incorporated cities, as their base allocation?
No. No, Mr. Chairman. I'm simply saying that, and as I think Senator Wilkin has in his bill, there is possibly a middle road here or a middle ground, and I'd urge the committee to consider that carefully, because simply supplying one set amount for all unincorporated communities may not get you to where you want to go.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Ford. Any other questions from the committee? Okay, we'll set aside this bill. and come back to it. We know there's a number of amendments that are going to be going on with it, and so we'll put that aside. Our next bill that we're going to hear is Senate Bill 3, put forth by Senator Wilken from Fairbanks, who will present it. Senator Wilken, please.
Afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Gary Wilken, and I represent Senate E in the Senate. And I thank you for taking the time to have this bill presented to you, and I promise I'll be quick and have you out by dinner time.
Today or tomorrow?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, please present Senate Bill 3, Community Dividend Program. And for the record, I'd like to read in the sponsor statement. But before I do that, just if I could just refer you to the items that you have in your packet. You have the sponsor statement, and you have a one-page white paper with just facts from the bill. You have a fiscal note. You have the bill itself, of course. You have a fiscal note of $64.57 million. You have from the Department of Community and Economic Development, you have the municipalities and the distribution that this $64 million, how it would be spread around the state, broken into municipalities and into unincorporated communities. Has some other information that I can share with you as we progress. But for now, with your indulgence, Mr. Chairman, let me read into the record the sponsor statement for Senate Bill 3, a community dividend program that meets our needs and shares our wealth. Senate Bill 3 creates a sustainable community dividend program to share state revenue with local municipal governments and unincorporated communities. The proposed community dividend program is in response to concerns expressed by communities throughout Alaska. Higher costs of basic living and government needs, coupled with diminished traditional state support, have placed greater financial burdens on all local governments, both large and small. Senate Bill 3 funds the community dividend program from the general fund. However, if the legislature considers the general fund insufficient to support the community dividend, the following funding sources may be considered in the following order. Constitutional Budget Reserve, Mr. Chairman, just for reference today, that has $2.46 billion in it. Two, the Alaska Capital Income Fund, which today has little more than $28 million in it. And three, the Permanent Fund Earnings Reserve Account, which today has somewhere around $4.5 billion contained within it. Senate Bill 3 provides $70 per person for all local municipalities and unincorporated communities. Additionally, each municipality that is a school district and is meeting the 4-mil local contribution school requirement will receive an additional $30 for a total of $100 per resident. The Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development will issue the dividends to Alaskan communities on July 1st of the year following the actual legislative appropriation. This one-year delay will allow local governments to build an operating budget based on firm numbers. There will be no need for the budget writers to wait for the legislature to take action in the spring before drafting and passing their annual budgets. The revenue sharing program established under Senate Bill 3 distributes the state's wealth equally among all Alaskans on a per-person basis. I respectfully request your support, and I stand available for questions as you wish. Thank you.
Are there any questions from the committee on Senate Bill 3 of Senator Wilken? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Senator Wilken, where does this draw the line? We heard the last people testify that a population of 25, same criteria anyhow to qualify to begin with?
The same qualifications, just a head count based on the population that the department would issue every year. This doesn't have a minimum.
No minimum.
But as we worked through this last year, there'll be a minimum come out of this concept. I just wasn't comfortable with what it should be, and I would rather leave it up to 21 and 11 decide what the minimum would be.
Senator Wilken, so you're saying that there is no appropriation for any community that's out there?
Right.
Simply on a per capita basis?
Per capita, right.
Any other questions from the committee? I have a couple, Senator Wilken. One is what are your thoughts from the department, and have they voiced any opinion on what this bill is going to be?
I don't know about this year. Last year, of course, this bill looks familiar. It should. It's essentially the same bill we had last year.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was okay with it last year. I haven't heard them say it's a great bill or a bad bill. So they must think it's a great bill.
Okay. Well, 50% of them, maybe. Yeah. I don't know what 50 other. What, has the administration taken a stand on it at all?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
They haven't said they didn't like it.
Well, I'm not. I mean, you're acting like I'm
oh, I know.
Coming after you. Oh, I mean, I'm trying to. We're trying to make sure that these communities.
I'm with you, could I, Mr. Chairman? Could I just throw in
one other question, culture? Senator Wilkin? Has the AML voiced an opinion on it?
They were supportive of it last year. I haven't asked this year.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Senator Wilkin.
I just for the committee's knowledge, there was some discussion at the earlier on the earlier bill about the history of ledger of revenue. I'd refer you to, and you might want to throw into the packet for whichever bill you happen to be talking about, there was a lady by the name of Kathleen Wakefield, a ledge analyst, that prepared a bill for Senator Stevens in October 10th of 2005, and it's really a good 15-minute read on the history of revenue sharing. You had asked that question with your endeavors last year, and there's a lot of really good information in here, and it shows how it started back in 1970 with a mere $2 million and peaked out in 1982 at $143 million and then, of course, started to drop off as soon as Senator Wagner left office. So,
thank you.
You're welcome. So there's really there's a wealth of information in here, and it's helpful to read that for whenever you consider whatever bills on revenue sharing. It's good work that she did, and it's very helpful, I think, to everyone.
Does anybody in the audience want to go ahead and testify to the Senate Bill 3?
Got her?
I guess I'm just not sure why there isn't a base there, Senator Wilkin.
But there could very well be. I just didn't know what it would be. I'm uncomfortable with the bases that have been used, because if you take it per capita,
mm-hmm.
I think they're excessive. And so rather than me make a guess at it, as I said last year, somebody throw a base in and let someone talk about it and let the body decide. I'm not going to fall on my sword to not have a base amount. Sure. I just wasn't comfortable with arriving on my own at what it should be.
Okay. And you don't have a difference between the allocation for the unincorporated municipalities and the incorporated ones?
The bright line is whether they are supporting their schools or not.
Right.
Those that are meeting that four-mil requirement in our foundation formula, they would have a $30 amount per resident. So that's the bright line between the change. It's either 70 or 30, or excuse me, it's either 70 or 100. 100. Yeah.
Is that right?
70, yeah,
70
or 100, yes.
100 if they support their schools. Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
That's right.
Senator Wagner, go ahead.
70 if they don't support at a 4% or 4 mil level on their schools. 100 if they do.
Right.
Per person.
Yeah, it's a $30 premium if you're meeting your 4 mil requirement by the foundation formula.
We have one person online, and that's actually from Fairbanks. Tim Beck wants to go ahead and testify on Senate Bill 3. Mr. Beck, if you would.
Yes, Tim Beck, Chairman Olson and members of the committee, and through the chair to Senator Wilkin. I just wanted to thank you for your willingness to endorse the concept and the recognition of the importance of the community dividend program, and thank you again for being willing to work on this legislation, whichever one falls out. I have a personal more information regarding the SB 72, but as you said, it's some place to talk, and I want to thank you for that.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you very much, Mr. Beck. Any questions of Mr. Beck from the committee? Senator Wilkin.
Could I share a little more information that's kind of interesting?
Please.
You hear a lot about the communities that have dissolved and all, and I would refer the committee, Mr. Chairman, for you to ask the Division of Community Advocacy for the report, Cities in Various Stages of Inactivity and Dissolution. I think it's very interesting, and I'm not going to read it all, but I just share with you that there's been three communities that have closed their doors. There's been eight that have inquired about it, There's been eight that haven't had their FY06 election certified. There's been 22 that have not submitted their required FY06 budget to the department. There's 14 that have a large financial debt that the department thinks would put their community in jeopardy. And there's 22 that have not renewed their workman's comp insurance. And of course, a lot of those are the same communities in each classification. But I think that, and there was discussion earlier, someone suggested there was a huge number. I mean, there isn't a number that was suggested, but I think this lends credence to the fact that we probably should do something to share the wealth. You don't see Anchorage on here, you don't see Fairbanks, but there are some communities that deserve some of that wealth, and this bill gets it to them. So I think it's just a yellow flag that we should pay attention to.
Any other question of the bill sponsor? Thank you very much, Senator Wilken.
Thank you. Thank you, members.
And if there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. The meeting's adjourned.